We've been in the book of Numbers. We're still in the book of Numbers. We'll be in chapter 9 today if you want to start making your way to chapter 9 of Numbers. If you remember, there's lots going on. There's lots of preliminary events going on in the first 8 or 9 chapters of the book of Numbers. They're still getting ready to move. They haven't gone anywhere yet. God has told Moses to count the people, to put them in a certain formation so that they know how to move and in what order to move and how to camp and in what area to camp in. And they know how to do some various types of purity and make sure that their sacrifices are right. And then a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the passage where they bring gifts and the nation of Israel brings great gifts through their leaders and inaugurates the tabernacle and the use of the altar. And we talked about the inner room and all those different things. We talked about how to move the tabernacle and who's supposed to do it. And now this week, we're still doing preliminary stuff. God is going to tell Moses to two things are going on in this chapter. One, they're going to talk about the Passover and doing the Passover. And then the next thing, God's going to tell Moses when and how to leave. And so we're going to look at those two aspects of the book of Numbers, starting in chapter 9, verse 1 today. So let's read this chapter. It's not terribly long. It says this: in the first month of the second year after the departure from the land of Egypt, the Lord told Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, the Israelites are to observe the Passover at its appointed time. You must observe it at its appointed time on the 14th day of the month at twilight. You are to observe it according to all its statutes and ordinances. So Moses told the Israelites to observe the Passover. And they observed it in the first month on the 14th day at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai. And the Israelites did everything the Lord had commanded Moses. But there were some men who were unclean because of a human corpse. So they could not observe the Passover on that day. These men came before Moses and Aaron the same day and said to him, "We are unclean because of a human corpse. Why should we be excluded from presenting the Lord's offering at its appointed time with the other Israelites?" Moses replied to them, "Wait here until I hear what the Lord commands of you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, when any of you or your descendants is unclean because of a corpse, or is on a distant journey, he may still observe the Passover to the Lord. Such people are to observe it in the second month on the 14th day at twilight. They are to eat the animal with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They may not leave any of it until morning or break any of its bones. They must observe the Passover according to all its statutes. But the man who is ceremonially clean is not on a journey and yet fails to observe the Passover is to be cut off from the people because he did not present the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man will bear the consequences of his sin. And if a foreigner resides with you and wants to observe the Passover to the Lord, he is to do so according to the Passover statute and its ordinances. You are to apply the same statute to both the foreign resident and the native of the land. On the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and it appeared like fire above the tabernacle from evening until morning. It remained that way continuously. The cloud would cover it, appearing like fire at night. Whenever the cloud was lifted up above the tent, the Israelites would set out. At the place where the cloud stopped, there the Israelites camped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out. At the Lord's command, they camped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they camped. Even when the cloud stayed over the tabernacle many days, the Israelites carried out the Lord's requirement and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud remained over the tabernacle for only a few days. They would camp at the Lord's command and set out at the Lord's command. Sometimes the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. If it remained a day and a night, they moved out when the cloud lifted. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or longer, the Israelites camped and did not set out as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. But when it was lifted, they set out. They camped at the Lord's command, and they set out at the Lord's command. They carried out the Lord's requirement according to his command through Moses. So we have these two different aspects, and you may be thinking these are not really connected, but they are. They're connected by the fact that it has to do with obedience to God and understanding that he is there amongst the people and that he is to be worshiped and followed all of the days. The first thing that we see is that Israel is commanded to take the Passover. And if you think about the Passover, what is the Passover? It is a celebration of deliverance. And so we are to celebrate deliverance. Now, our deliverance is a little bit different than the deliverance that the people of Israel had. The people of Israel, if you remember, they were enslaved. They had begun to, at first they were welcomed in Egypt by the Pharaoh, by Joseph, because of Joseph and what he had done. All of his brothers and family were welcomed there in Egypt, and for a period of many years, they grew and grew and grew, and then the book of Exodus comes, and it says, and then the Pharaoh came about who did not know Joseph and what he'd done. And so this may have been a dynasty change. It may have been various different things. Maybe they just didn't read the history books or weren't taught of what Joseph had done for Egypt. But this new Pharaoh comes to power and he realizes, hey, there are a lot of those non-Egyptian guys living here in the land. So why don't we enslave them before they take us over and they become Pharaoh? So they do that. They enslave all the Egyptians, and the Egyptians have to work, and they're slaves, and they build a couple of cities and all this stuff. And the people cried out to God. And God sends Moses to them. Moses was a shepherd, has much more of a story, but at the time, Moses is a shepherd of his father-in-law's flocks. He's in the desert, and God meets him at a burning bush and says, hey, Moses, I got a job for you. You need to go to Egypt. You need to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. After a prolonged discussion, Moses is obedient. He goes back to Egypt and he tells Pharaoh, hey, you need to let God's people go worship. And Pharaoh says, not a chance. So a plague happens. The first plague is that the river, the water turns red with blood. And so that the water of the Nile River was what gave the people life. Not only were they what gave them something to drink, but it also watered all their crops. And so now that it's contaminated, they're concerned heavily about that. And so Pharaoh says, okay, I'll let you go. And they start to get ready to go, and then he changes his mind. And this happens 9 times. And finally, the 10th time, Pharaoh says, look, I'm going to kill every firstborn. And God says, okay, that's what you want. That's what we'll do. And so God told Moses, he said, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to kill every firstborn, not Pharaoh. And if you want to live, in order to live, you need to take a lamb that's about a year old, that has no issues, no spots on it, no blemishes, no disease, nothing's broken. I need a good, healthy lamb. And you take that lamb and you kill it. And you put the blood on the doorpost of the house. And you roast that lamb and you eat that lamb and you eat that lamb with your clothes on, with your shoes on, ready to go, with your bags packed. And if as I come through town, as I come through the land of Egypt, if there is no blood on the doorpost, I'm going to kill every firstborn human, every firstborn animal. He said, but if there's blood on the doorposts, I'm literally going to pass over that house. And so that night, Israel obeys. Each family, they take a lamb, they kill it, they put the blood on the doorpost, they celebrate together this fact that they are going to be passed over and have life. And the next morning, Pharaoh wakes up, and every firstborn Egyptian is dead. Every firstborn animal is dead. And he says, okay, that's enough. Y'all can go. And so Israel leaves. And they leave Egypt, and God delivers the Israelites from Egyptian slavery. So God institutes a yearly Passover in which they are to celebrate this event for the rest of their days and to teach it to the next generations for them to celebrate. And even today, people, the Jews, still celebrate Passover, remembering that God delivered them from Egypt. And we are to celebrate our deliverance as well. If you recognize the fact that you were once in sin and that God delivered you from that sin, you were like the Egyptians, enslaved to your own sin and your own desires, and you had no way out and you were headed to hell, that God in His atonement on the cross and Him dying on the cross and rising again and offering us life. He says in the book of John chapter 3, a man must be born again if he wants to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so if you've been born again, you need to celebrate that deliverance. Now, we don't do it with a meal. We don't do it with killing a lamb, and we don't do it with eating bitter herbs and all those things, but celebrate the salvation that God has brought to you. Celebrate it as often as possible in your own life. Now, as a church, we celebrate through the Lord's Supper. That's one way to celebrate, but there are many other ways to celebrate. One, you can celebrate through prayers of thanksgiving. You can celebrate through telling people what God has done to you. Celebrate. Tell people about the wonderful deliverance that you've had from your enslavement to sin. And as they're celebrating, a group of men come afterwards and say, hey, Moses, we are disturbed that we could not participate in the Passover because someone in our family died and we were contaminated. We became impure. We became unclean because we touched the corpse of someone who had died. And so because someone is impure, someone who is unable someone who is unclean, they could not offer the sacrifice of the Passover. And so they are upset about it. They want to be participants of this. They want to be able to celebrate God's deliverance that has come on their life, and they are unable to. And so Moses goes to God, and he says, hey, God, there's these people who really want to be obedient to you. There's these people who really want to follow your direction, but because of impurity in their life, what do they do? And so God tells them, instead of doing it on the first month, the 14th day, I want them to celebrate on the second month, the 14th day. And if anyone happens to be away at the time on a long journey, they too can celebrate on the second month, the 14th day. So God gives these concessions and says, hey, I want you to celebrate. It is important to celebrate your deliverance. It is important to remember that you have been delivered. It's important to celebrate that. And so in giving these concessions, God is saying, hey, if you can't do it the first month, do it the second month. But then he gives a note. He says, but if anyone who's there who's able to celebrate it and doesn't, kick them out. Kick them out. That's to show us how important celebration of deliverance by God is. Don't take for granted the fact that God has saved you, the God that that God has delivered you. God didn't owe you that. And too many of us forget the fact that God is a good God and gracious God and that he has given us new life. Celebrate your deliverance. Celebrate being born again. And the second thing is, as God changes the subject, seemingly, is that we need to be ready to follow God wherever he goes. God tells them that we are to follow him. We are to follow God. And so God has this way of letting Israel know when to move and when to stay. You can picture the camp. You picture the tabernacle, which is this large tent, this mobile temple. And inside the tent, there's two rooms. There's the holy place that has the lampstand, which we talked about last week. And it has the other furniture of the tabernacle. It has the golden lampstand. It has the a piece of furniture to put an offering on. And then there's another room a little further in the tabernacle, and we call it the Holy of Holies. And that's where the ark was. And above the ark, outside of the temple, there was this huge cloud. And the cloud represented God's presence. It was a cloud by day, and at night it appeared to be fire. It reminds me of God appearing to Moses at the burning bush. This fire, this constant fire, this flame that was there that helped the people of Israel know God was there. So you picture outside of the tabernacle this column of fire that dwelt above the Holy of Holies, which represented God's presence. And so God directs him. He says, you know what? Whenever I stop, you stop. And whenever the cloud starts to move, you pack it up and you get out of there and you follow the cloud. And when the cloud stops, you camp. And so Israel knew when to move and when to stay put. They knew when to pack it up and they knew when to camp. And God says, doesn't matter if I just stay there overnight, you pack it up the next morning and you get going. And Israel obeyed. And this is the point I want to make for us, is are you following God's lead? Are you tracking with God? Too many of us pack it up and move and say, hey, cloud, why don't you come here and meet me in this place? We say, God, bless what I'm doing. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to be obedient to you. I'm going to go out on my own, and I'm going to do this particular thing. I'm going to make this decision, or I'm going to go to this particular place, or I'm going to do this particular thing. I'm going to get in this relationship. I'm going to take this job. I'm going to participate in this certain activity, and I need your cloud to come over here, and I need you to bless it. It's not how it works. When the cloud moves, Israel moved. And it needs to be the same thing in our life. We follow God. We don't ask God to follow us. If we do that, we've supplanted God and we've made ourselves God. And many of us do that. We say, God, I'm going to go here. Just want you to know so you can bless it. Maybe you want to get out ahead of me and go there yourself. Instead of following God's direction and following what God wants. The cloud enshrined the glory of God, and God spoke to Moses from the cloud. And what I want us to know is that we need to let God lead us. And you say, well, that was very easy for them. They had a cloud. They had a pillar of fire at night. I wish I did too. Well, we have something as well. God has given us his word. God has given us the Bible. God has given us a lamp to light up our paths. Psalm says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word illuminates what we should do. God's word is what tells us where we should go and when we should stop. It teaches us the principles of holiness. It teaches us the principles of obedience. It teaches us the principles of what it means to be a believer. It tells us what's sin and what's not. And when we study God's word and when we let God's word light our path and show us the way to walk, we walk in God's glory. We walk in God's light. When we seek to follow Him, when we seek to follow His lead, we notice where He's working and we get involved with Him. Let God's word lead you. God is the way. God is the map. He knows what's best for you, and God is going to give what's best for you. There's this parable in the New Testament that Jesus tells of a father. And he asks these questions. He says, which father whose son says, I want a piece of bread, would give his son a stone? Which father who says, whose son comes to him and says, I want an egg, and the father would give him a scorpion? What father whose son comes to him and says, I want a fish, and the father would give him a snake? And the answer is a rhetorical, none. I love my child. I wouldn't give him a piece of rock to eat instead of bread. I wouldn't give him a scorpion instead of an egg. I wouldn't give him a snake instead of a piece of fish. And then God asked the question, which one of you who doesn't really know how to love perfectly can outlove me? God is a good God. He's a good father. He's a gracious father. And if you ask him for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. He offers us good gifts. He offers us what's best for our life. He knows what's best for our life. And sometimes we ask God for a stone, not realizing it's a stone. We call it bread, but God says, well, if I give you that, that's like giving you a stone, and it's going to hurt you. If I give you that, it's not like giving you a fish. It's like giving you a snake that's going to hurt you or kill you. So God says no. So instead of getting outside of God's will and running over here and saying, hey, God, I've got this egg, God is saying, no, that's a scorpion. Come back to where I am. I'm not going to give you that because it'll hurt you. Follow my lead. Follow me. Follow the Father. Let him lead you. Don't get out in front of God. And when he moves, don't stay put. Be obedient to him. In these last moments together, I want to invite you to spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time with him thinking about these two truths we find in chapter 9 about celebrating deliverance. Maybe you need to spend some time with God celebrating, thankful of what he's done in your life, how he's delivered you from sin. Maybe some of you need to spend some time asking for forgiveness for not following his lead. Not being in his word, not knowing what the lamp is lighting. And get that right in your life. If you've never been born again, today's the day. Don't wait anymore. Give your life to Christ. And we could celebrate your deliverance together. Father God, we thank you for the deliverance that you've brought in our life. That you freed us from the enslavement to sin, that you've given us a new life. And Father, as we celebrate that, we want to be a people who follow you, who follow your lead, just as you led the people of Israel out of Egypt, you gave them guidance, Lord. I pray that we would follow the guidance we find in your word. That we would learn the principles and we would apply them to our life. That we'd be an obedient people who walk where you walk and go where you lead. And when you move, we move. And when you stop, we stop. God, help us in our obedience.